Okay, my name is Ray Anderson, formerly, currently with the USDA ARS Salinity Lab down in Riverside, but this work is work that was conducted when I was research associate up at ARS in Parlier, California. And before I begin, I'd like to thank my co-authors, including one in attendance, Dr. Rebecca Tirado-Corbala, as well as collaborators here, co-authors who can't be here, and collaborators who are here, including Dr. Norman Mecki, Dr. Adele Yucana, and Dr. Jim Kinnery. So what I'm presenting today is basically serendipitous or by chance discovery. We had two paired eddy covariance towers in a sugarcane plantation in Maui, Hawaii, that had basically identical meteorological conditions with the exception of wind, and had some pretty stark differences in terms of evapotranspiration parameterization. So the outline of this talk is I'll just give a very brief introduction to reference ET. I'm sure most in the audience are fairly familiar with. Introduce the study site, the micro-measurements, and illustrate some divergence between the sites that we observed. I'll look into a little bit of some potential causes for these observed divergence. I'll finally close out with a correction that we applied to the reference ET equations to basically bring coherence between the two sites and with the actual ET measurements. And finally, just a conclusion. So introduction is irrigation, as you know, is a tremendous consumer of fresh water, has been for a long time in semi-arid and arid regions. But even in regions that that are more humid or that have more precipitation, supplemental irrigation is becoming increasingly large as crop prices become higher and as alleviating crop stress during drought is a bigger issue. And farmers and water managers have used a crop coefficient and reference ET approach, where the reference ET represents your meteorological demand and your crop coefficient represents management practices, cropping, the specific crop, the growth stage, so on and so forth, to parameterize consumptive water use. It's much less expensive to estimate reference ET with the meteorological station and then apply a crop coefficient than to use direct ET observations. And these equations have been standardized. However, in the United States, most of the development has been in the western U.S., where irrigation has historically been very prominent in agriculture. And there is a need to evaluate these equations under different conditions, and so we test them in this environment. So we use the American Society of Civil Engineers short ET NOT and tall ETR equations, and it basically parameterizes a surface for the full-form Penman-Monteith equation, which allows a lot of the variables in Penman-Monteith to be collapsed into constants. Along with the reference surface parameterization, there's also extensive protocol for modeling radiation, as well as meteorological QA/QC. And I just have here for the full-form equation, Penman-Monteith, and the standardized ASE equation with variable constants, depending what your time step and your reference surface are. So our study site is in central Maui at the Hawaiian Commercial and Sugar Plantation, shown on the MODIS image on the top in red, and with the Landsat on the bottom. It's a 15,000-hectare plantation with widely varying climate, strong rain gradient from northeast to southwest. And the sugarcane plantation is reliant on drip irrigation. This plantation is looking at alternative crops and practices for bioenergy. And in this study, we compare the ASCE reference equations against another potential equation, the Priestley-Taylor approach, which does not have an advective component. So We had two eddy covariance towers and installed at two fields. Have just a little bit of background on the tower processing. The big thing I want to emphasize with these two sites is that we had exact same crop, exact same management because it was by the sugarcane plantation. Meteorology was very similar with the exception of wind. We had one site that was extremely windy because of its orientation to Haleakala in the West Maui Mountains, and then another site that was less windy. It was in the leeward side of Haleakala. And so they had two towers. And the other thing I want to emphasize with the meteorology is that these sites are semi-arid. They're in the rain shadow, but they have relatively high relative humidities, on average of roughly about 70%. And so usually your peak daytime vapor pressure deficit's less than 1.5 kilopascals. So I present some data from basically the time of tower establishment up until the end of the ASCE mid-period for the two tower sites here. I don't have a pointer here, but what I want to emphasize is, especially for the tall reference ET, just the high values at our windy site. And then it might not look like the eddy covariance ET changes much, but it does increase with crop growth up until full canopy closure, and then afterwards it does show some slight seasonal variations, but compared to the reference ET, in particular the tall reference ET, the variations are muted. On the right here we have the cumulative ETs. The shaded period indicates the ASCE mid-period for both respective fields. And what I want to emphasize is that sugarcane is a really high water use crop. The crop coefficient for the KC for well-watered sugarcane should be at least 20% higher than the ET, 1.2 times ET naught, and approaching ETR. And we don't really see that. And when we look at the differences between the different equations, just during the mid-period, we see particularly stark differences at our windy field. And ET naught did significantly better, but it was still overestimated measured ET, particularly at the windy field, by about 400 millimeters. The Priestley-Taylor approach, without the effective wind component, was just a radiation approach, did best. ASCE and or FAO 56 recommends that the crop coefficients be adjusted for the local microclimate. However, in this location, the adjustments basically offset. The wind, higher wind, elevated the KC, but that was offset by the higher humidity and lower vapor pressure deficit. So we back calculated bulk canopy resistances from the towers, and they were both quite a bit higher than the bulk canopy that is parameterized in the ASCE reference ET equations. So we got these results. We were collecting the data, and then we were asking ourselves a logical question: why are we seeing these differences between the sites? And our first initial inclination, particularly at the windy site, was we're seeing some sort of stress. However, or incomplete cover. However, we looked at the fraction canopy cover. One of my colleagues and co-authors, Dr. Weiwei Zhang, had tetracam measurements at these sites, and the tetracam cover was complete. We matched it up with both Landsat and MODIS. We saw that too, complete cover. I don't have the data presented here, but precipitation and irrigation combined exceeded observed ET at both sites, and then particularly at the windy site, there was no periods of stress. We couldn't get soil volumetric water contents in the Lee field because of issues with rocks in the soil and installation of the Campbell 616 probes. But at the Windy field, right underneath the cane line, line in the root zone, we basically saw soil water, soil moisture contents that rarely dip below field capacity. According to a water retention curve by one of the co-authors, Dr. Tirado Corbala, field capacity is about 26%. And we also finally looked at, well, it's eddy covariance. A lot of the EC measurements depend on basically force closure with available energy net radiation. And we were concerned about, we wanted to double check the net radiation. And so we parameterized the net radiation from completely independent weather station network using the ASC procedure. And we didn't see any biases between the towers and the closest respective weather stations. Some other hypotheses that I'll just go through very briefly, as I'm seeing running just a tad bit low on time. Some of the other hypotheses were about the effective leaf area. This is a very high biomass sugarcane system with a high, large amount of litter on the ground and a drip irrigation system. So we thought that maybe that would insulate the soil, reducing the soil ET or soil evaporation, or whether or not there was something off with the atmospheric resistance equations. And so we tried to evaluate all three of these. The first one, we didn't really have the measurements to prove or disprove it. This would have taken some really extensive field campaigns, and logistically we didn't have. We only had one field point that during the mid-period where we did a sampling of leaf level resistance, didn't find a leaf level of resistance significantly different from the 100 second meters that's commonly used in to parameterize bulk canopy resistance. However, we did, looking through the literature, we did find previous studies that both found lower effective leaf area indexes and higher stomatal resistances without necessarily seeing corresponding increases in stress. With the suppression of evaporation, we did find that the nighttime bulk canopy resistance was much, much higher than the value used in the reference ET equations, oftentimes exceeding 1,000 second meters. I also like to note that during the mid period, net radiation at the site was extremely low. It was less than 5% of RN. Finally, with the atmospheric resistance, we conducted sensitivity experiments by doubling atmospheric resistance and then using that new atmospheric resistance to back calculate bulk canopy resistance. And this changed bulk canopy resistance relatively little. So what we did was we basically parameterized a new bulk canopy resistance, and we did this by inverting the Priestley-Taylor equation at the two fields. And we used a much higher but intermediate value of a bulk canopy resistance of 165 second meters, which we used to calculate a new reference ET, what we're calling ETR cane. And we found that at our sites, this did significantly better than ETO or ETR, and it had less seasonal variation in performance than Priestley-Taylor. So summary and conclusion, we had two paired sites with eddy covariance in identical agroecosystems with very similar climates with the exception of wind. We found that commonly used reference ET equations significantly overestimated crop ET when the standard crop coefficients were used. We found that the bulk canopy resistance in both fields was higher than those parameterized in these equations, and we didn't, despite looking as well as we could with the instrumentation and resources we had available, we couldn't find evidence of water stress. When we Used the custom full canopy resistance. We greatly improved our ET estimates using Penman Monteith, and we would advise some caution when transferring these equations to regions with unusual micrometeorological environments, particularly those that might be have very high wind or with high relative humidity or something, some other unusual conditions. With that, I'd like to thank my co-authors and collaborators who helped out greatly with this field research, and partial funding is from U.S. Navy Office of Naval Research. And with that, I'm happy to take questions if you have time.
Questions for Ray? Would you have still the possibility to investigate on this water stress issue? I mean, it could be that you could have some remote data on the crop temperature, surface temperature.
One of my co-authors, Dr. Zhang, is looking at actually using a UAV at crop surface skin temperatures with applied water stress, where they're applying deficits. But that research is ongoing. Unfortunately, due to the sequestration and due to programmatic changes from our funding agency, Parlier's role is getting cut back significantly, and really extensive field work seems unlikely at this point to investigate at a leaf level what might be going on at these tower sites.
One more quick question. Yes, Dr.
I was wondering, too, it looks like for some reason the gold resistance is high. Do you think that maybe the extension of the area irrigated by drip is insufficient, that the roots are having a hard time flexing from the water?
We don't know exactly how far the lateral flow is. In terms of actually comparing the ET measurements to the water budget, which the applied precipitation and the applied irrigation data, the applied irrigation is 15-20% higher than the measured ET over the whole crop cycle, at least at the windy field. At the less windy field, we have a little less data with the soil moisture because of the rock situation. And just from speaking with the cooperator, the less windy field is higher elevation. It's harder to get irrigation water to it. And so we would expect that field to show the KS, the term for stress. We haven't investigated, whether or not it's because of constrained root zones. But if there is constrained root zones, it should be something that's operating at both sites. And we're not really seeing that.
Okay, we'll keep this discussion brief. Maybe we can meet.